If we could just all stand here this morning. It is such an honor to have Brother Aaron Wright here. And some of you may wonder, what's the connection here? How many of you men have been on one of our Man Up adventures by Brother Nathan Thompson Ministries? Man Up Adventures. And a lot of our young men have attended those. I've been on two of them myself. And if you've never been on one and you'd like to go on one, just tag in with any of our young men or older men that have been on those. I think recently Brother Ben Thompson went on one, and Brother John Repka went on one all together. But it was through the Man Up Adventures that we came in contact with Brother Aaron Wright. And Brother Jerry Simmons went to Bible school with him and has known him for years. And my nephew Carl comes back and says, you got to have Brother Aaron Wright come and preach for us. You got to have Brother Aaron come and preach for us. And I've just met him since Friday, and I feel like I've known him most all of my life. We've had some great conversation. And he's one of those preachers that's going to tell you what God wants you to hear, not what you think an evangelist ought to tickle your ears with. So buckle your seatbelts, church, because God's got something for us this morning. And God brought Brother Aaron Wright all the way from Pennsylvania to deliver that. God bless you, Brother Aaron.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, are you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Where else would you rather be than right here where we get to gather with brothers and sisters of like precious faith? Amen. Thank you, sound man. That's excellent right there. Amen. And gather ourselves together to bless the name of the Lord. It is so good to be with you all today. I'm thankful for this opportunity. If you want and would like, I invite you to turn to the Word of God, 2 Kings chapter 13. I'll begin with verse 14, and I'll give you a moment to turn there. I am on a little time crunch here, so I'm going to get right into the preaching of the Word. Is that okay? Amen. Brother Carl, Sister Lindsay, Jerry, Caleb, Calvin, wherever you guys are all at, I'm so good or so glad to be back with these guys that I've met at Man Up Adventure. I feel honored to be able to meet your pastor. And also, I met Bishop last night very briefly, and so it was an honor. I give Bishop honor here today. I feel like the Queen of Sheba, when she went into Solomon's kingdom, and she told Solomon, the half has not yet been told. Amen. I've heard a lot about your pastor, and I'm thankful for him, but the half has not yet been told. I got to sit down at dinner, and as he wept with tears in his eyes, talking to me about the passion he has to develop young men, and it just turned my spirit, it turned my heart. And so, Pastor, we give you high honor today. Amen. How many love your pastor here today? I also want to give honor to some of my dearest friends, Pastor Eric Cleveland and Sister Cleveland. They're with us from Iowa, and he's not going to raise his hand, but he should raise his hand and let us know who he is. We give you honor. We're thankful that you are here. Brother Cleveland and Sister Cleveland, they're our dear friends. So God speaks to me in context. He will lay a context on my heart, and once I know the context, I'll then begin to pray for specifics to be accomplished. The scriptural context leads us to 2 Kings 13, verse 14. The specifics are yet to be determined, because the specifics, more times than not, revolves around our personal response to what God is speaking and what God is saying to us. Verse 14, now Elisha was fallen sick of the sickness whereof he died, and Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Verse 15, and Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And watch what Elisha does. Elisha then places his hands upon the king's hands. Then he said, open the window eastward. He opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he prophesied this. He said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. Somebody say, that's the will of God. It was the will of God that the Syrians, their adversary, was utterly consumed. And he said, take the arrows, and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And the Bible says what? He smote how many times? Thrice, three times. And he stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, and he said, thou should have smitten five or six times, then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but three times or thrice. In other words, this is what the man of God said. According to your response to what I just prophesied to you, so be it unto you. How many times did you hear Jesus say, according to your faith, so be it unto you? The king's actions of smiting the arrows upon the ground were done with what seems to be a hesitance. And he struck the ground half the times the prophet expected him to smite the ground. I want to preach to you and use context to try to get us to where God can move in this place and touch our lives. I want to preach to you from this thought, the disposition of defeat. The disposition of defeat. Now, I have heard that this is an apostolic church. I have heard that this is a spirit-led church. I've heard that this is a church that loves the things of the Spirit. If that is the case, I want you to set your Bibles down. I want you now to unbuckle your seatbelts, and I want you to lift your hands as high as you can. So I want every hand lifted in this building, and I want you to begin to pray. Come on, this morning, strongholds are going to be broken in this house. This morning, the spirit of fear is going to be lifted off of people's minds. This morning, the trouble that people are having in their marriages, in their homes, in their life, God is going to reach into your life and your heart with a supernatural touch, and he's going to change some things in this house. And it all depends upon our hearing in our response to the word of God. So would you take just a moment now? I want to hear you lift your voice. Would you lift your voice and ask for the supernatural flow of God's Spirit? Jesus, Lord, we're asking as a body right now for the supernatural flow, a supernatural touch, God. We've come here, Lord. We're already here. We're in our Sunday best, God. And Lord, we're not going to go through the motions, but tonight or this morning, Lord, we're going to reach up to you. We're going to open our hearts, our minds, and our spirit, Lord. I ask you to change me. I ask you to touch me. I ask you to renew me in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, lift up your voice for just a little bit longer. Jesus, I pray for a divine flow of your spirit. God, a breakthrough that would cause change, a breakthrough that would set us on another path, oh God, a path where we can see clear, God, what you're doing and speaking in our lives. In the name of Jesus, come on, stretch for just a moment. Lord, we love you. Would you offer up a hand clap of praise to the Lord? Somebody shout Jesus. Come on, this isn't my typical Sunday morning as an evangelist message, but I've come commissioned by the Holy Ghost to stir the body of Christ. I've come commissioned today to stir us, amen, to push us into a place of the Spirit where from this point on, God is going to turn our lives around. God is going to start to minister in areas where we've called out for help before. Amen, let's not go easy. Let's reach our voice. Let's reach our praise. Let's lift our hearts. Hearts up to him right now. Amen. Thank you for standing. Sound man, just a tad down. I've never had to tell a sound man to turn the monitor down. He is an amazing sound man. He needs a raise immediately, sir. That is perfect right there. Amen. You may be seated. So the one thing that I cannot get over is how someone so victorious would end up being defeated in the long run. The people who would experience three consecutive victories back to back to back over their adversary in the years following, they would be subjected to their rule and their dominion yet again in a position of defeat, all because of a simple response to the prophet. What happened to the king that day that he only smote the ground three times and then stayed? What was the king thinking at that very
moment. And I know that we really can't go back and know exactly what was going through the king's mind or what the king was thinking. But I have observed something, and I feel like there is a principle that we can glean based upon the king's physical actions of only smiting the ground three times and then pulling back. The word disposition means a person's inherent qualities of mind and or their character. In other words, a mental outlook on something, a mood, a state of mind regarding something. The dictionary will give us this definition. This sweet girl or this girl is sweet-natured and of a placid disposition. And the reason the dictionary, or we could make that call about a young lady, is because we have observed her physical actions. We have observed her navigate through the Sunday school department, and we have observed how she handles herself. If we were to talk about me as a young boy, it would go something like this. That young man is of a ruthless disposition, because as a young boy, I was told, I don't believe it, but they said that I terrorized anything that could be terrorized, that I got in trouble everywhere that I could. There's not a husband in here this morning that does not know when your wife's disposition has changed and you have slipped from the good graces of your wife now to the bad side of your wife. Come on, husbands, where are you at? There ain't one of us. All it takes is just a little look. It goes from this and just by that facial feature, physical change, you know, I just crossed the line. Where do I go from here? And you more than likely just kind of slip out of the way and go hide for a while. So when the disposition changes, so does the atmosphere. So does the physical actions behind the case. In our opening scripture text, Elisha is on his deathbed, and the king comes into Elisha and he begins to mourn one of the most prolific prophets of Israel's day. And he begins to mourn over the man who has been a pillar to Israel. And as the king comes in unto Elisha and begins to weep over his condition, Elisha seizes the moment and begins to speak prophetically to this king, a task that would seem so easy, a task that would seem straightforward within the moments following proved to be a difficult task, as Joash was a king that was raised by a father who did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, following the path of Jeroboam. And because of his father's actions, Israel lived under the suppression and control of the Syrians of that day. And so in this tiny segment of scripture, Elisha is getting ready to prophesy or speak to this king. He's ready to talk to the man that is leading Israel. And Elisha is going to talk to him about a shift that is coming in their status. God was about ready to deliver them from the hand of their adversary. And now Elisha, as this task is upon him, he begins to speak to the king, not just verbally, but now with physical demonstration, prophetically, to impart this knowledge unto the king, the knowledge of a supernatural divine shift that is coming to Israel. In verse 15, it says this: Elisha said, "Take your bow and arrows." And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Put your hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And then watch this. Elisha then follows up and he places his hand now upon the king's hands. And to me, this is where this story becomes interesting, because it's one thing for you to engage in war and warfare all by yourself, but it's a completely different ballgame when you engage in warfare and you have the supernatural touch of God that is leading you, and the supernatural touch of God that is guiding you into that warfare. And so when the king takes the bow, followed by Elisha putting his hands upon the king's hands, Elisha was signifying there is a supernatural impartation of God's spirit that's getting ready to be added to the equation. Can I preach for just a moment this morning? Can I preach and let you know that this preacher right here still believes in the supernatural touch of God upon our lives? Amen. I still believe that if we're going to be who God's called us to be and we're going to do what God's called us to do, help me somebody, it's going to require not man's strength and not man's wisdom and not man's abilities, but it's going to require the supernatural touch and the supernatural hand of God to be upon our lives. Amen. The supernatural. Natural. It's our inheritance as the children of God. Come on, how many will preach with me for just a moment? How many's ever been in a place where your back was up against the wall and there was no way out because the adversary was bearing down on you? Has anybody ever woke up and your faith was strained? Help me out there, somebody. You ever know what it's like to wake up in the morning and you don't feel like getting out of bed because the battle is hot and the battle's heavy? Amen. You know what it's like to face depressions or anxieties or stresses. The adversary tries to come upon you. Amen. And I believe this, that there are times when we're down and out. There's times when our backs are against the wall. There's times where human wisdom isn't enough. And those times when they come is the perfect time for me to say, you know what? I need your hand in my life, God. I need the supernatural touch of God. I need you to do something, God, and make up the difference in my life. How many will be honest with me this morning? You ever wake up on a Sunday morning and you didn't feel like going to church? Let me see your hands. Come on now. Let me see your hands. Don't you lie. You lie, you fry. Especially on a Sunday morning in the house of God. Amen. You woke up on a Sunday morning. The devil has been warring at you all week. Your alarm goes off. You smack the snooze button not once, but about 15 times. And now you're at that place where it's either now or never. And finally, half-heartedly and with a grudge, you kick your hide out of bed. You get on some clothes and now you get into your car. You come in, you park in the church, and you walk in just in time for them to open up service. Anybody know what I'm talking about out there? All right, we got a couple honest people, and you hear you're heavy, you're hard, your heart is aching, you're stressed out, you're strained, but all of a sudden the worship team gets up, and they begin to play some anointed music, and before you know it, your foot begins to do one of these right here. Before you know it, your head's got a little bob with it. All of a sudden, your hands get going with it as well. And by the third and the fourth song, your hands are up in the air and you're waving, amen, and you're praising the Lord. Then Pastor Roy gets up here and he begins to deliver the word of God. The word of God compels you. It reaches into your heart. And when he gives the altar call, all of a sudden, you feel compelled to go up to that altar. And now that you're up here at the altar and you begin to praise the Lord, all of a sudden, although nothing out there has changed, everything has changed because now the supernatural touch of God is upon you. Now you're seeing it like God sees it. Although the circumstances hasn't changed, everything has changed. Why? Because that's what the supernatural touch of God does. And that's why we need to be the people of a supernatural touch. That's why don't you ever come to church and go through the motions. You need the supernatural touch of God. Amen. Help me somebody. We need God's hand upon our life. We need God's favor upon our life. And so the supernatural touch of God is designed to change the way we are seeing circumstances. Give me some scripture for that, Aaron. All right, just a couple chapters earlier in 2 Kings chapter 6. That's when the Syrians were trying to advance on the people of God. And as they would try to make advancements, the children of God already knew what they were going to do. Why? Because there was a man of God, Elisha, that was in touch with God. And before the adversary could make one move, they were already one step ahead of the adversary. And now the king or the adversary, he's saying, there's somebody that's a spy inside of my own camp. And they're like, no, no, no. What's going on is there's a man of God. There's a prophet in Israel that when he's laying his bed, he knows exactly what you're thinking. And so here's what they do overnight. They circle and encompass round about the city of Dothan, and they there lie in wait for the prophet and his servant to get out of bed. In the morning time comes, the servant, he wakes up, and no doubt as he steps outside of the dwelling place, fear grips his heart as he notices that while they were sleeping, the adversary had circled the entire city of Dothan. And what was that young man's response? He went back into the master and he said this, "Alas, master, what are we going to do?" What are we going to do? And watch the response of the man of God. The man of God, he didn't spaz. He didn't get full of fear. He didn't flip out. He didn't wig out, whatever you want to say. You know what the man of God said? He said this to the young man. He said, "Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha said this. He said, "Lord, I'm praying this. Don't take away the army. Don't slay the adversary. Don't get rid of the problem. But Lord, my prayer for this young man is that you open his eyes that he can see." And all of a sudden God reaches down and he takes a hold of that veil that separates the natural from the supernatural, and he peels that veil back. And when that veil was peeled back, that young servant realized that all around the mountains are horses and chariots of fire, and he realized that we don't have a problem now because God is for us and God is on our side. Somebody clap your hands to the Lord and let's give him some praise in this house. You know why I know this church needs a supernatural touch of God? Because not only what I'm perceiving right now as I'm scanning the audience, because what came against me almost 2 weeks ago, prior to me being here. There's only been one other time in my ministry that I have faced such a dark spirit, and that was when I tackled the spirit realm of Newfoundland. Only one other time. I had the honor of talking with your pastor. And I'm not going to get into the conversations. But what was said, I realized why God was speaking to me something. Matter of fact, I think I might have told you, I feel like I have three messages in one. I don't know how that's going to happen. Because of what was it, 9:17, I think my notes said, God spoke to me so clearly in regards to this church. And he said, "Aaron, the enemy is speaking." And he took me all the way back to Elijah the prophet, when he prophesied that there was going to be 3 years of no rain on the earth, and thus it was, there was no rain. At the end, the word of the Lord comes to him and says, "Go show yourself to Ahab, I'm going to bring rain." And he called 450 prophets of Baal to the mountain. And there he challenged them, said, "How long are we going to be halt between two opinions? Whosoever God answers by fire, let's serve him." All day long they cut themselves, they cried out, and Baal answered not. But within a short prayer, fire fell from heaven, consumed the entire sacrifice, licked up the entire moat of water that was around it. And then Elijah said this, "Slay the prophets of Baal." And they did. Chapter 19 opens up, and what happens? Ahab goes back and he tells his wife Jezebel that he has slain the 450 prophets of Baal. And what happened? What was the response? Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah and said this, "Let the gods do so to me and more, if at this time tomorrow, you won't be dead." She threatened his life. And a man that just called down fire and slew 450 prophets of Baal, when he heard the adversary speak and Jezebel speak, he ran for his life and went in a day's journey into the wilderness and went into hiding. You know why it had that impact on him? Because the 450 prophets of Baal were just pawns. And when he slayed the pawns, all of a sudden the upper management got word of that, and upper management got ticked off. And when upper management gets ticked off, you're dealing with a higher level of authority than you are when you're playing around with a few pawns. And you know what I know in my spirit? Is this church hasn't just come up against a few pawns. You're coming up against a spiritual attack that's from upper management. That's why there's marriages here that have felt hopeless. That's why there's people here that has felt despair like you've never felt despair before. That's why there's people in this congregation who have felt the spirit of fear like you've never felt fear before. And Elijah goes in the hiding. A day he's in the wilderness and there he sleeps. It's enough, Lord. Let me die. You know why? Because when upper management spirits speak to you, it literally affects your physical being. Because you feel the trauma of what's being spoken. You feel the despair coming over you. You feel the fear coming over you. The hopelessness coming over you. And he falls asleep and an angel wakes him. And the angel says, eat. And there was food provided and drink. He ate and he drank and he fell back to sleep. Maybe he had a carb overload. But he went back to sleep. And the angel woke him again and said, listen, you need to eat and drink because the journey to Mount Horeb is too great for you. And he sustained 40 days and 40 nights on that food that he ate and drank that the angel provided. And what happened? He found a cave, the Bible says. And in that cave, God showed up and said this, Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? He says, I'm zealous because the people of Israel have forsaken you and went after Baal. And I, and even only I, am alive and left. God calls him to the mouth of the cave. At the mouth of the cave, there was a strong wind. It rent the mountains. Sound personnel, you're amazing back here, people with the media. It rent the mountains. It break pieces of rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And then all of a sudden, are you ready for this? A supernatural touch of God touches him. And all of a sudden, he hears the still small voice of the Lord. And the Lord asked him again, said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Why have you allowed, in other words, old Jezebel to cause you to go into hiding? Hear me, somebody. The Lord spoke to me so strong to give you a word of the Lord. Listen, the devil is not the author and the finisher of your faith. Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. And here's what the Lord told me. If Jesus authors a spirit into your life, he's going to author the spirit out of your life. If Jesus sets you up in a battle against the adversary, he's going to cause supernatural power to give you strength over that adversary. Come on, it's not over until God says it's over. It's not over until God wills it to be over. There's no weapon that's formed against us that shall prosper. All that rise up against us shall fall. Come on, somebody. We need a supernatural touch of God to help us to see what we're fighting and to see it the way God sees it. Lift your hands and lift your voices right now. Come on, all over this house, lift up your voices. Let the Holy Ghost begin to flow through you right now. Come on, let the Holy Ghost flow through you. Where's my intercessory prayer warriors at? Begin to let the Holy Ghost flow through you. Where's Kelvin? Where's Caleb? Where's Jerry? Carl, I need some men to go into prayer right now. Come on, lift up your voice and ask God to touch your mind right now. Come on, that's it, people. That's it. Lift up your voice. Let's move. Let's press into the Spirit right now. Let's move into a place where God can touch our minds, where God can change the way we're seeing things. Come on, in the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your hearts. Lift up your strength.
In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let him slip into a place of the Spirit right now. Let him slip into a place of the Spirit right now.
Come on, even the children, you can get involved in this. Lift up your hands. There's a supernatural touch of God where He wants to fall in this place and help us to see it the way He sees it. Come on, love the Lord, press, 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 press. Shondoro koso toramondo rakata. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Come on, elders, I know you can touch the throne of God. I know that you can touch the throne of God today. Talamondo rokoso toramaha. Yandale mondo roboshi andale boko torabaha. Come on, break through this morning. Break through this morning. Come on, there's a breakthrough on families. There's a breakthrough on marriages. There's a breakthrough happening in our minds here this morning. Shataramondo rakata lebo shotoro ho shatala mondo rokosata. Listen, I realize the adversary is speaking. I realize that what you're up against is real. But there is a supernatural touch of God. There is a still small voice that we need to listen for and cling on to right now. Amen. That's going to guide us through this journey. And it's going to guide us through the darkness, amen, that we find ourselves fighting in. Keep praying just like that. Keep praying, but listen to me for just a moment as you pray. What are you doing, Elijah? What are you doing? Why'd you let Jezebel put you in hiding, Elijah? And it was at that point in time where God began to give Elijah his marching orders for the rest of his ministry. He said, "This is what I want you to do. Are you hearing me?" In other words, Elijah, I'm not finished with you. I still got a work to do in your life. You're to go anoint the next king of Syria. Go anoint Jehu to reign in Israel's stead. And then you go find Elisha and you anoint him to be the prophet in your stead. The upper level management spirits would cause the man of God to feel like it's over. And yet that was at the time where God said, you're going to enter into a level and a stage of mentorship for the grant. I humbly speak that to you. There's a level of mentorship that God has not finished with you. And I don't care what devil you face. I don't care how high up the ranks the adversary is. Until God is finished with you mentoring young men. And until God says it's over, sir, it's not over. Amen. You've just started. And then, next chapter, chapter 20 or 21. You can stay with me standing and pray. Where's the men that were at the fire last night? I want you to come gather around this altar and be my preachers today. In the next few chapters, what happened? Ahab wanted a vineyard. And so he looked at Naboth's vineyard. And he went down and said, "Give me this vineyard, I'll pay you for it." And he said, No. This is the Lord's property. It disturbed Ahab so much. It disturbed him that he went and laid. And finally, Jezebel came up with a plan and they went out and they killed Naboth. And as Ahab went walking down to see his new land that was not his, territory that did not belong to him, it was God's territory. And he was a trespasser. He was encroaching on God's land. And the very person that said, I'm going to take your life, God used Elijah to prophesy both of their deaths. Much like Naaman trying to take out God's people. What the enemy meant for evil. Where's my preachers out there? Where's my worshipers out there? I would try to sing, but I'm a terrible singer. But he goes, what the enemy meant for evil. Come on, God knows how to turn around for our good. Amen. When the adversary comes in like a flood, somehow God is able to raise up a standard and reverse the attempts of the adversary. In Elijah's remaining years, he was able to prophesy the death of Jezebel. Amen. He was able to see the hand of God move. There were still years left in his life. And I'm going to reiterate one more time. I don't care what the adversary's been speaking. I know he's been speaking. But I don't care what he's speaking. God is not finished with you. Amen. God still has a plan for you. Whatever you feel to do right now, whatever the unction of the Holy Ghost is putting on you, I want you to do it right now with everything that's inside of you. If that's to stand to your feet and lift your hands to the Lord, you stand to your feet and you lift your hands to the Lord. If that's to shout with everything you have, then you shout. If that's for you to dance in before the Lord, then you start dancing before the Lord. Whatever you feel to do, you do it right now. The Holy Ghost is settling in on us. Amen. He's bringing a supernatural touch of God to the equation. Amen, to change the way that we're seeing what we're fighting. Come on. Come on. I can feel a breaking in the spirit. I can feel a loosening happening right now. Come on, sissy. Go ahead, sissy, over here to my right. Go ahead. Let the Holy Ghost bless you. Don't hold back. Let him bless you, sissy. Come on, let there be a breakthrough upon your life. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come on, I'm starting to hear somebody break through. Go ahead, sissy. Go ahead, sissy. Come on, go ahead, lift up your voice, sis. Come on, push! Come on. Look at your elder right now. Look at your elder right now. Somebody needs to break out in the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, elder. Smite the ground with everything that you have. Where's the men of God at right now? Where's my prayer warriors? Come on. Come on, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I wish to God I had some armor bearers to come up beside your pastor and do the same thing that they're doing. I wish to God I had some men of war that would come up and say, devil, enough is enough. I'm done listening to your lies. I'm done listening to the deceit. I'm done listening to fear. Enough is enough. Come on, somebody. Don't you be dictated by your flesh right now. There's a supernatural shift happening in the spirit realm right now. There's a supernatural shift happening. Come on, the adversary is being pushed back. Come on, the adversary is on the run. I'm sorry, friends. This is not crazy, amen. This is following the unction of the Holy Ghost. You don't know what's happening in the spirit realm right now, amen, but I'm telling you, this church is taking a step forward. Come on. Come on, young men. I see some youth in this aisle. Young men, why don't you get out and come up here on the platform and spread out? Why don't you come help me pray for the elders? Come on, somebody. Come on, if you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, if you need God to fill you with the Spirit, lift up your hands right now. Come on and let God fill you with His Spirit. Come on, keep praying. Let me minister for just a moment, but keep praying.
Come on, loose it in the name of Jesus.
I want to see hands right now. How many of you have felt fear like you've never felt fear before? Let me see it high as you can. Where's look around. Keep your hands up, the spirit of fear. Keep them up. But how many of you have felt anxieties? Just not knowing what's going to happen. How many of you have felt despair lately? Let me see your hands. Despair, hopelessness, like everything you had was going to fall apart. Hear this preacher today. That's not the will of God for your life. Hear this preacher today. That's not the will of God for your life. You're a Holy Ghost filled child of God. The Bible says greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I feel commissioned to tell you about an experience I had where a witch visited me in my dreams. It was my second week of full-time evangelism in 2015 that I left northern Wisconsin and I went down to Cedar Rapids where I was parking my RV. I had settled my family that night and laid around 11:30. I found myself tired and I went to bed. And somewhere around 2:30 in the morning, maybe 3, a witch visited me in my dreams. And in my dream, it started out with me running for my life. There were 4 men that was chasing me. And I knew that they meant harm. And as we were running through a parking lot, I was dodging cars, and finally one came around and flanked me on the one side, and we started wrestling, and I tried to fight my way, and he grabbed a shackle that was attached to him, and he shackled my leg. And I remember when he shackled my leg, I began to pull my leg and fight like a dog would try to wrestle his way out of a collar. And finally, I yanked my leg hard enough that it came through that shackle, and I took off running down the road. To my left, there was a river. To my right, there was a hillside. And in front of me, there was a big old bridge that came across the river, and it met to the top of the hill. As I was running, and I was about ready to go under the bridge, there was an on-ramp that went up the hill. And so I turned, and as I turned to run up the hill, my daughter Madison, which, by the way, I didn't tell you, but I have a daughter named Madison, and the reason she's named Madison is because when I was at ABI in 2002 to 2006, when I'd drive back and forth to Pennsylvania, I'd pass through Madison, and I'd say, I love that name, Madison. If I ever have a girl, she's going to be called Madison. And 2 years later, Madison breached the womb. Amen. So, by the way, that's my ADD kicking in. Up the ramp, thank you. So, I'm running up the ramp with Madison, and Madison says, Dad, I'm tired. Dad, I'm tired. I said, Madison, we can't stop until we have safety. As I'm running up the hill now, the big, retention wall that holds the bridge up was to my left, and now there was a fence to my right, and it was a corridor, and I knew that I have to get out of this corridor. And as I was running about 3/4 of the way up the hill, there was a hole in the fence. And so I ran over, I grabbed this fence, and I pried it open. Madison jumped in, and I fought my way through this chain link fence. Now that I am on the other side of the fence, there was like a pathway or a little wood lot, if I could say, about 10 yards from me to my brother right here is this. And then there was fences to the backs of houses. And so I turned on my phone. I got my flashlight and I began to walk down the hill with my daughter. Trying to throw him off. I ran up the hill. Now I'm going to walk down the hill in the guise of this little wooded lot. As I'm walking down the hill, one of the streetlights from the bridge, this is all in my dream, one of the streetlights on the bridge, it shined into this little wooden lot that I was walking down, and it illuminated an area. And as I was walking, as soon as my feet stepped into that illuminated area, as soon as I crossed into that illumination from down over the hill where I was headed, a witch calls out to me, and she says, who are you, and what do you want? And when I heard the enemy speak, when I heard the voice of that witch, I was paralyzed with fear, could not move. Holding my phone, I began to stumble. I could not speak. She would say it again and again, who are you, and what do you want? And finally, I mustered up every strength I could. I said, I am. And before I could even speak, this is what she said. She said, Aaron Wright, you better turn back. Aaron Wright, you better turn back. Aaron Wright, you better turn back. And I woke up from my dream in my trailer. And all I could literally hear the witch's voice almost audibly saying, Aaron Wright, you better turn back. My first instinction at 3 in the morning at 2:30 was, I was like, this is nuts. And I rolled over and I tried to go back to bed. And as I lay there, my arms and my body was full of goosebumps because the presence was in my trailer.
And I'd rather have slept it off than dealt with it. But I could not stop hearing that witch's voice. Aaron Wright, you better turn back. And finally, you know what it's like to have a trailer bed. You can't roll off the side of the bed because there's walls there. It's like yay big. So I get up and I start doing the snail all the way to the end of the bed, and I'm sliding myself, trying not to wake my wife. Let's all stand. I'm almost done. Those with kids and holding kids, you can be seated. But if you're able to stand, praise team, if you want, join me. I get to the front of my bed, Pastor. And as I'm sitting at the front of my bed and I push that one final couple inches, as soon as my feet touched the bedroom floor, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you? And I, granted, you got to help me out. This is like 2:33 in the morning. I'm saying, rubbing my eyes. They say, God, you got to throw a dog a bone right now because I have no idea what you're talking. It's too early. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord came to me so powerfully. And it said this, Aaron, they called you out by name before you ever introduced yourself to them. And then he said, Aaron, they know who you are. And at that point in time, a revelation clicked. Amen. And I understood that I have power with God. Amen. And I opened up. I stood up in my trailer bed. I opened my little bathroom door. I got into my bathroom. I shut it. I opened my living room door and then I shut it. And I had a 14-foot living room. And I began to do this. Till finally I stopped dead in the center of my living room, my little 12-foot or 14-foot living room. And I said this, I said, devil, you listen to me right here, right now. I have come too far to turn back. I have come too far to turn back. I said, devil, I will never turn back. And matter of fact, devil, I'm going to fight you every day that I live. I'm going to come after you every day that I live. Come on, I'm preaching to a church that's come too far to turn back. I'm preaching to a church that's come too far to allow the adversary to intimidate you with fear, worries, and anxieties. Lift your hands all over this place. We're going to take authority in the name of Jesus. Come on, hands lifted all over this place. Hands lifted, hearts lifted, voices lifted. Come on, the supernatural touch of God is going to come in here again like a wave. Come on, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power and the authority of your word, by the power of a believer, I bind the spirit of fear. I bind anxieties. I bind negativity right now in the name of Jesus. And I loose the power of the Holy Ghost to minister in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voices. Lift up your hearts. Come on, I need some prayer warriors to push. This is going to get a little exhausting here. Come on, but I need you to push right now. Praise team, go ahead and sing. Come on, take us into the presence of the Lord. Come on, in the name of Jesus.
It may be hard, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail.
That's it. Let the Holy Ghost flow. In the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus, the supernatural touch.
For the battle belongs to you, Lord. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. And every war he wages, he will win. I'm not backing down.
Come on, if you know somebody needs prayer, why don't you go to them? You don't have to touch them, but go to them and just say, I'm praying for you in the name of Jesus. Turn this whole building into an altar call right now.
Yes, I know how the story ends. So I'm going to see your victory. I'm going to see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see your victory. I'm going to see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see your victory. I'm going to see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to see your victory. I'm going to see your victory. For the battle belongs to you.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Come on, that's it. Let the Holy Ghost bless.
You take what the enemy
let the Holy
meant
Ghost
for
bless.
Evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
You take.
You take what the enemy meant for evil.
Come on.
And you turn it for good. You turn it
come on,
for
fear
good.
Ends today. Anxiety's in right now.
You take what the enemy
hopelessness
meant
ends
for evil.
Right now.
And you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
You take.
You take what the enemy meant for evil. And you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing your victory. I'm gonna sing your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing your victory. I'm gonna sing your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing your victory. I'm gonna sing your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing your victory. I'm gonna sing your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Falls won't prevail, because the God I serve knows only how to triumph. My God will never fail. No, my God will never fail.
So I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing your victory. I'm gonna sing your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. Every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giants, 'cause I know how this story ends. Yes, I know how this story ends.
I'm gonna sing your victory. I'm gonna sing your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing your victory. Sing your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing your victory. I'm gonna sing your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna sing your victory. I'm gonna sing your victory. For the battle belongs to you. Turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. Take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. So I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you.
Praise the Lord, church. This has been an incredibly powerful service this morning. If you go away defeated, it's because it's a choice you made. And I'm going to go as bold to say, if you make a choice to be defeated, don't solicit my help. I want to spend my time with those that want victory and are willing to live in victory. I love all of you. Jesus loves you. But he doesn't make choices for you. And if he won't make the choice, you won't make the choice. Don't expect me or us to make that choice. I choose to live in victory. I love each and every one of you. Thank you so very much, Brother Aaron Wright, for preaching to us this morning. I'm excited for our Sunday school opening back up. I'm appreciative to all the staff. We're going to cover a little bit of that on Wednesday evening yet. I'm going to so if you can make sure you're here Wednesday evening, because we're going to kind of have a fireside chat with your pastor. How's that? And we're just going to get down. We're just going to have a good old-fashioned sharing of my heart, and where God, I believe God is calling us and directing us to go. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Remember to pray for one for another. Keep each other in your prayers. Our Spanish ministry will be in here in about 20 minutes. Feel free to fellowship. It's just when they come in and start practicing, we just need to be aware that we're turning the building over to Brother Fabian and his team. But love you all. God bless you. Have a blessed day. And we will see you back here on Wednesday.